our study here on Wednesday night. We've been taking a look at this latest subject or sub-subject about let no man take thy crown. Let no man take thy crown. We've taken a look at that. How could that be? It's not a physical thing. It's a thing that could happen in this life. It's our opportunity and calling to serve and walk with our Lord, worship our Lord with our lives, as the brother led us in that song. We live our lives for the Lord and not for ourselves. And so just appreciate you being here tonight and certainly making the effort to come. It's a big, long day, and you got a lot of things that you've been doing, and I know each one is tired, but I appreciate you making the effort to come for the midweek service. I really, really do appreciate that. In regards to this of let no man take thy crown, we took a look at last time about just natural man and the catalog of natural man's wicked way. That's the thing that either how one could take our crown. And understand, the person is not going to be involved with taking and stealing it. That's not what the Lord's talking about. They're not going to haul it off. But through seduction, through deception, through the propagation of ignorance, we can be deceived, we can be seduced, we can follow after things that we ought not and lose reward, lose those things that we have wrought, as the Lord said, and as we've looked at in recent time. Just to get more pointed about this seduction, the bill of goods that is sold, is the purpose of tonight's message. Those in the world will come at us with many, many, many thoughts, many, many things that are just normal for them. I invite you to turn your Bibles to Psalm chapter 2, and let's start here with this, because I think this is a good summary of it. We've taken a look at how the Lord tells us that it is so that the heathen, that the wicked, that they want folks to follow after them. They want folks to, you know, to be in the gang, be in the crowd, follow after the things that are done. Here in Psalm 2, verses 1 through 3, why do the heathen rage? The word rage is speaking of tumult, a tumultuous thing that is at hand. Why do the heathen rage? When that word rage, we might think of anger and wrath. There's something at hand with the heathen, with the ultimate work of the heathen. And I would say also that our adversary, the devil, is involved with this too. Anything that he can do to tempt and seduce mankind to be at odds with the way of the Lord, he does it. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain, an empty thing? It is an empty, empty affair. It's a thing that is found on this earth. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Listen, the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together. So they set themselves, they purpose, they direct themselves in this. They talk about it and figure out about how they can do. These are men, the heathen of the world. And the rulers take counsel together against the Lord. And we've got it going on in our nation, don't we? It's at hand. Not only does it happen at the highest levels, but it happens down in the most obscure places amongst just mankind and people that there's not even known. It goes on to say, against the Lord and against His anointed. Now, that's the children of God. Don't want anything to do with the righteous way. And we are saved sinners. We still have our sins and transgressions. We have our faults, but we're to be repenting of those and turning from those, aren't we? Taking those to the Lord, asking the Lord to forgive us, asking the Lord to cleanse us. We are the children of God, and we're called from the things that are alluded to here and spoken about here and that we'll mention otherwise. Against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder. As I've talked recently, and I think mentioned in the message Sunday afternoon, a constraining that happens when the children of God are away from the way of the Lord. It's not the Lord that's at fault. It's not the one that tells what the truth is fault. It's me when I'm cross against the word of the Lord. I'm constrained in myself. I might take it out on somebody else, but the problem is with me when I'm against the what the Lord has said. They feel constrained. The thing is, the Lord is showing the way of liberty. The children of God are shining forth the way of truth and the way of happiness, rescue, and glory into the Lord. Let's break their bands asunder, the bands of the Lord and the bands of the children of God, the anointed, and cast away their cords from us. Because see, a child of God, walking with the Lord and obeying the Lord and what the Lord has given us, is going to be a rebuke unto the unbelieving. It's going to be a rebuke to the wayward child of God. I get crossways in my sin and chasing after something. And the thing is, my very brother or sister near me doing what's right, telling what's right, can rub against me and my flesh and my old wickedness that I'm pursuing. The heathen rage. We see this in our day in 2 Timothy. Related to this, the heathen raging in tumult. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, there are these that are at hand. Listen to what it says just in verse 5 alone. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. A lot of people are religious. People say the name of God, say the name of Jesus, claim that they're saved, claim that they're a member of a church, but they deny the power of the Lord, having rescued them, changed them. Still follow after the same life. You know, I know of someone that claims to be a Baptist in a Baptist church, they say, and they certainly believe a lot of things different than we do, and able to live in fornication and direct a child's choir. It's denying the power thereof, sending the signal that shacking up to all those children is right. It's okay. The Lord doesn't care. That's the thing. That's the thing that these that are raging, the heathen at hand, those imagining a vain thing, and you know what they'll look to do? They want the way of the Lord cut off from them. They want the people of God cut off with them, from them, and they will look to seduce. They'll look to bring in to their way. It's fun. Come on, it's fun. It's exciting. Everybody is looking for something exciting, aren't they? Come on. We're not that restrictive. We're not that strict. Come on. It'll be okay. It'll be okay. A little bit of wrong, a little bit of wickedness. Well, everybody does it. Everybody does it. It's okay. Come on. Lose your crown. Have your crown stolen, succumbing to such a thing. Come on, it'll be okay. I mean, everybody knows that everybody kind of hedges that way. Come on. The children might be told, and listen, children, don't tell your mom and dad. Whenever you hear those words, don't tell your mom and dad, that means you need to go tell your mom and dad. That's the way it'll... Don't tell mom and dad. And you know, it might come from the most trusted source. Those can be seeds that are planted. In the hearts of young people by even those that would be loved and respected by them. Because they've got a different thought. They've got a different way. They've got a different attitude. So we're going to go ahead and do this. We know your parents don't like it. Just don't tell them. I'll tell you what, don't follow after that. Don't follow after that. That's seduction. The seduction never goes, hey, come on this way. It'll cost you your life and wreck your life and damn your soul and separate you from everything. That's never the way the seduction works. It's little bit, little bit. Other seduction can be you can gain wealth. You can get rich. You just got to give up this. Got to quit that honors the Lord. You gotta not be so touchy about that kind of thing in that kind of way. I mean, who doesn't do it? The seduction would go. Who doesn't do it? Or maybe, as we see in our day, fame and prestige. There's a rampant thing amongst our society and culture wanting to be famous or infamous, as it turns out. Fame. Do they sell their soul for fame? I know a young woman, so years ago, at the time that I came here first as your pastor, and she was breaking into Hollywood. And I tell you what, she had to sell her soul and her body to try to make it. Seduction, deception, lies. In Titus chapter 2, as the apostle writes to our brother and to us, we see in verse number 11, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." Remember, there in 2 Timothy 3:5, it spoke about those having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. See, the grace that bringeth salvation, somebody claims that they've been saved by the great favor and working of God. "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying..." These that have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof, the grace of the Lord hadn't taught them a thing. Can claim the Lord. Say, I'm good with the Lord. I'm good with Jesus, and Jesus is good with me. But there's no manifestation of a holy, righteous walk in their life. And the thing is, they will say, "Come on and follow after me. Come follow after me." And cause us to get our crown taken away. It goes on to say here, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly right now in this present world." Not when we're in glory with the Lord, but now. "Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, remembering this always, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us, buy us back from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people," beyond usual, that word peculiar means, "zealous," a fanatic of good works. That's what that word zealous means, a fan, a fanatic of good works. And then in 2 Peter, along this line of the heathen raging, we are reminded of what our brother writes here in 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 16. He speaks about brother Paul writing and the wisdom given unto him by the Lord. And he says in verse 16, we'll read just this passage. "As also in all his epistles," Paul's, Peter testifying of Paul's epistles, "speaking them of these things," which he's been talking about, "in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest." The direct word, if I understand it correctly, is torture. It's talking about twisting. Or, I'm of the opinion that it can also, this gives us a picture towards us, they feel constrained by it and they twist and they turn against it. Just don't want to be bound by it. Don't want to be bound by the word of the Lord. What's he say here? And they that are unlearned and unstable rest as they do also the other scriptures, the Old Testament scriptures and the other writing of the brethren by inspiration of our Lord. What's it say there at the end? Unto their own destruction. A bucker of the scriptures. Somebody that bucks against the word of God. Look out. Not somebody to listen to. As it said in one of these other passages, from such turn away. Now, understand, as we deal with this subject, we're not to be devoid of their need of Christ. They need the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're to be a good witness of that, but we're not to follow and be seduced and be deceived and receive the lie that we lose our crown, lose those things that we've wrought. And then this leads us into the thought, unlearned and unstable, there's that of ignorance. There's just that of ignorance, not knowing about things. We can lose our crown just by not knowing what the Lord says. Or following someone that is ignorant of what the Word of God says. Jesus says in Luke 6:39, in this parable, He spake a parable unto them, can the blind lead the blind? Watch out. Watch out who you listen to. Watch out about where they point to. Do they say, follow me? Or do they say, follow the Lord? Do they say, follow my words? Or do they say, follow the Lord's words? The Lord Jesus said, can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? Yeah, somebody that's going down a wicked way is not going to help you and I to go in a righteous way. We lose, have our crown taken away by following such. And then lastly, the one that is at hand, that is working to compromise the testimony, the life, the witness of the children of God. God, the one that enjoys and loves to see their crown and their reward taken away by disobedience, is Satan himself. And it's 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8. Beware, let no man take thy crown, the Lord Jesus Christ declares unto us. Let no man take thy crown. He says here in 1 Peter chapter 5, the Scripture does in verse number 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, and he indeed is, for we were saved, our adversary was the Lord. Now the Lord's our Savior, our Father, our friend, our Redeemer, our instructor. And that makes Satan then our adversary. When we were without Christ, from this viewpoint of where we live here in life and on this earth, Satan was the best friend we had. There in that song, being a child of hell, being a child of the devil. Only the Lord knows about the sheep and the goats, doesn't He? But I tell you what, sheep or goat, without the Lord Jesus Christ, is all looking like going the same way. It's all looking the same. And that is there in the Lord's business. But it says here, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. He wants to devour those crowns and rewards. He wants them to be lost. He wants the child of God to arrive in glory, saved so as by fire. He doesn't want any treasure laid up in heaven. He wants the child of God just following after the way of the flesh and the world. Can't get their soul. But he works hard. Himself and his own. And the fallen angels with him, the devils and those who are not saved, that it tells us in 2 Timothy, can be taken captive after his own will. Unless the Lord intervenes, Satan can work, his minions can work, even in the unsaved, to seduce, to deceive, to lie. He can do it. He says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion. Look at that, as a roaring lion. Somebody made this observation some months ago. Who's the lion of the tribe of Judah? The Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Satan's always trying to put on the fake. He's always trying to put on the fake, isn't he? Always, always trying to put on the fake. As a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. The Lord knows, and we're not facing a thing that hasn't been faced before. And then we'll close for tonight in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Satan is that one that desires to steal away crowns, to steal away those things wrought, steal away our reward. He'll use men to do it. He'll use his influence to do it in the world system. Because see, listen, understand the operation of this. The child of God stands here with no influence from Satan, but externally. Because remember, the strong man lives within. Satan cannot possess the saved person, because Jesus lives within. So, how is it that Satan works? Well, he can work in the stuff of life, the things that you and I own or come in contact with or whatever, to whatever bounds that the Lord's given, right? I mean, just consider Job. And then what's left? He works in people that are unsaved. Now, that's a difficult thing for us to think about. But the thing is, he can do so, save for the restraining power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what will they do? They'll deceive, seduce, and be used in that way. It's a terrible thought. But we must know this. We must understand this. Because of this verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 11. Here, he's talking about this forgiveness of the brother there that had been taken and that had been involved in this sin and transgression. And the church had followed what the apostle had instructed them in. And there was a blessing in that. And he says here about following through with this and restoring the brother. It's not a thing about holding a grudge. It's about, with repentance, receiving back. And the Lord would be glorified in it, that he would be rescued in that sense. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us. Because Satan's working to get an advantage of us. I just want to take that principle and apply it to this, what we're considering here about our crowns being taken away, about our rewards being lost, about those things we wrought have be taken away. Let Satan get an advantage of us. Listen, what's it say to go on to say? For we are not ignorant of his devices. Well, we might be ignorant, huh? We may be ignorant about what all Satan can use. We need to know and understand what he can use. And when anything, the world or the media or any person is speaking to us and bringing something to us, you know, we also have a problem with our own old nature. And what is in here already and what it gets fed. And where does it get fed from? Well, nothing bad from the Lord, but bad from the world, bad from the heathen, bad from even the wayward child of God. It can happen. May the Lord help us it wouldn't be so, that we're ignorant of his devices. Sad to say, it may be that we may be ignorant of the Lord, of the devil's devices, aren't we? May the Lord help us that we wouldn't be. Let no man take thy crown, the Lord Jesus Christ tells us.